Open your Bibles, please. I'm going to have you to turn to two passages of Scripture this morning again. If you don't mind, we'll start with a New Testament reference. I'm not going to start reading there, but I want you to find it first. The book of 1 Thessalonians. And you go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, so on. And then you'll go on over through the epistles of John, you'll come to Paul, and come to 1 Thessalonians. Find that, chapter 1. Hold a finger right there. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. And then we're going to give you a minute to find that. Everybody got that? 1 Thessalonians. God's blessed me and my wife with 5 children, and we were expecting, and just seemed like, you know, I told my wife sometime, I said, it looks like most people have a baby in 9 months. Takes us, looks like 10 or 12 months to get down near that last little while. I get so anxious, and I was working at a cotton mill, and I told them one time, I said, we wonder if it's going to be a boy or girl. We didn't know in those days. And I said, well, if it's a boy, I'm going to call this, that, and the other, and everything. And they said, what's it going to be if it's twins? I said, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I don't name them 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. They'll hate me when they go to kindergarten, but it'd be a novel name, wouldn't it, for 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. All right. You have your place in 1st Thessalonians. Now, go back to the book of Genesis. I know you can find that one right easy. That's why I give it out in a second. Genesis chapter number 19. Genesis chapter number 19. On last Sunday, I shared with you some things from the Word of God about something of the age we're living in. And he said in the last days, wicked men will wax worse and worse. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And he talked about all the things that will be going on in the last days. Last days of perilous times and so on, all those things. And we are living in dark days, but thank God the gospel still works. People still get saved. And yesterday morning in our men's prayer break, by the way, thank you for all those who were here early and got the breakfast ready yesterday. It was a blessing. Thank you so much for Brother Tim and all the folk who came to help him on all of last week and up into yesterday afternoon late, trying to get all the set down for through the eyes of Peter. That's about a 3-month project, maybe 4-month project altogether, just the physical aspect of it, getting it up, all the rehearsals, going through having the drama and the great ministry that was there, and then taking it down. So I know that you're tired this morning. I appreciate your effort, though, and I know the Lord will reward you and bless you for that. Genesis chapter number 19, and thank the Lord for that. But I was mentioning about God still saving. So in the services yesterday morning, the men's prayer breakfast, we had some friends with us from over the Spanish church. And by the way, I didn't mention it, but on the first Sunday night first Friday night in June, we're going to have a kind of a transitional service here for the entire time of the mission church across the road. Midway Baptist Church has been the mother church of that. And Brother Danielle, who was saved through the ministries of a missionary named Randy Roten down in Costa Rica. He worked with Randy 12 years and closely associated with Midway Baptist Church up in Garner. And then Brother Danielle felt a burden to come to America to help with Spanish churches. And Midway was trying to start a mission, and so they went there. So they've had a long relationship now. I forgot how many years that's been. But they've had quite a long relationship. But anyway, Midway's been the mother church. But we talked maybe a year or so ago with Brother Bob Johnson, director of their mission program, and Brother Danielle and all, about some transitions taking place. And so we're going to have a transition the first Friday in June. Brother Danielle is going to turn the pastoral ministry of that church over to a brother by the name of Noah. And he's going to be the pastor. He's sort of been working with Brother Danielle for about 3 years. And that we're going to become the overseeing church or the mother church of that mission. We'll take over the mission. And so everything will be under us and the leadership. And God will, continue to bless as they continue to grow. Brother Danielle's going to be going to Nicaragua. And by the way, if you are interested, they've got a mission project, building a church down there. And that's in the month of June and July. Midway's got it all set up, travel arrangements and lodging and food for the entire week. If you want to go stay a week and work, we'll say more about that later. Don't have to. But anyhow, what I was getting at is this. In the meantime, God's blessed soul there. They've had many people saved over the last several years. They've been there in the Spanish church, and they've established 4 other missions already out of that one church. And Brother Danielle's been going back and forth to Nicaragua. He started a church there in 09. And as they did canvassing, inviting people to come, the first service they had 300 people to show up. The very first service they ever had out under trees. And when they preached, they had 59 people saved. They baptized 30 that very first day. And right now, that church is running 700 already. And they're meeting under trees still. That's the project. They're going to go build the church in June and July. So if you would like to be a part of that. But I'm just telling you, God's still saving. Say amen. 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 Now, what are we coming to? Somebody said, what's the world coming to? And a good answer that somebody gave is coming to an end. The Bible's prophesied that. It's prophesied the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. And this world, as it stands today, is going to melt with a fervent heat one of these days. I believe the clock's ticking. We're getting close to that time. Now, I want to read a passage of Scripture. And in regard to the critical time that we're living in, but it was reflected in an Old Testament passage of Scripture. Look back at the book of Genesis, chapter number 19. Now, I preface the reading of chapter 19 by saying that what has happened in the latter part of 18 is that God has sent some angels. Their intent is to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they come to Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, and they say to him, will God hide from Abraham what he intends to do? And so he makes known to Abraham the fact that he intends to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, living in the city of Sodom is Lot. That's the nephew of Abraham. And so, because of his close connection with a family member living in that city that God said he's going to destroy, he begins to plead for the city. And he said in chapter 18, in the closing part, he said, Lord, would you destroy the city if there were 50 righteous people there? And God said, no, I wouldn't destroy it if there were 50 righteous. And then Abraham says, well, I don't want to try your patience, but how about 45? And God said, well, if it was 45, I wouldn't destroy the city. And then he goes on down and he said, how about if there were 40? And he said, if there were 40, I'd spare the city. And again, 35. And then again, 30. And finally got all the way down to 10. And he said, Lord, if there were just 10 righteous people in that entire city, would you destroy the city? And God said, no, I wouldn't destroy the city. But the truth of the matter is there were not 10 there. And so God did not simply destroy that because of homosexuality or what we call sodomy and all the sins of that great city. But he destroyed it because of the lack of righteousness. There was no salt there. There were no godly people there who would pray and seek God and live for God. Not even 10 in that whole city. You ever feel like you're in the minority? You really are in this day. But my dear friend, if there were 10, he said, I wouldn't destroy the city. But now come with me to chapter 19, and I'm going to read more scripture. My scripture reading this morning may be longer than my message. But look in chapter number 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at eve. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray thee, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them. Now, if you read the context and understand the biblical use of this word throughout all the New Testament, Mary said, when the angel announced to her that she's going to have a baby, she said, how can this be? I've never known a man. It's a sexual term. These men are encompassing this house of Lot, and their intent is a sexual intent for these strangers who come into that town. And Lot went out to the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men, a man. Let me, I pray thee, bring them out unto you and do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. And they are saying, you're trying to judge us? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, that is the angels, and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son in law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But they seemed as one that mocked unto the sons of unto the son-in-laws. And when the morning rose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought them forth and set them without the city. And it came to pass that when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life into the look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape and to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. I'll skip down a little bit. Lot says, I don't want to go all the way in the mountains. I'll get killed, so let me go in a small town. He said, that'd be all right. But now skip on down when it says this, verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered to Zoar. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of the heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. He destroyed the city with brimstone and fire from heaven. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to help me. I pray, God, you'd help your people. And God, if there's a man or a woman, a boy or girl in here who's not saved, I pray, God, that you'd speak to their heart and you'd save them for Jesus' sake. I pray now, God, that you'd just speak to my heart. Remove far from me anything that would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And our Father, I bow before you this morning with grateful hearts. I acknowledge there's no good thing in me. And God, apart from the work of the Holy Ghost of God, nothing of eternal consequence take place. But I pray, God, you'd fill me this morning. Use me for your glory. Help me to preach the truth. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a story of God about to bring judgment on several cities in the plain. Great sin in those cities. And God said, I'm going to destroy them. Living inside that city was a man by the name of Lot and his family. They were believers in Jehovah God. Maybe backslid, not really dedicated Christians we'd call, but they were saved and they knew God. And yet God was going to bring judgment. And so God did what he's done so many times before. Before judgment came, he made a way of escape for his people. You remember in another passage of scripture in the book of Genesis, the Bible said there was a man by the name of Enoch. And Enoch lived, he was a contemporary with Noah. He lived, his lifespan went on over into the life of Noah. There was a man by the name of Methuselah in that same time frame. His name means after me the deluge. And so what God did is just before he destroyed, he said, the end of all flesh has come before me. And he was going to open the windows of heaven, open the fountains of deep. He was going to destroy that whole human race at that time. And so what he did, the Bible said, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took him out. And the Bible teaches that Methuselah died, and he left out, went home to be with the Lord. And then God made a preparation for Noah. and he built the ark. And so when the judgment came, he was above the judgment of all the waters that cover the whole earth. He was above that. It's a picture of God delivering his people out of judgment. It's a picture that when God is about to bring judgment, he'll deliver his people out. Now, the Bible is full of Bible prophecies. The Bible about the end time, about the nation of Israel, everything. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied. His death was prophesied. And in the coming of him, being born in Bethlehem, born to Mary and Joseph, born to a virgin, brother, and Joseph being his daddy, and all the things related to his birth came fulfilled exactly as it was prophesied in the Old Testament. And then great detail was given in the Old Testament to the prophecies of the death of the Messiah, how he was going to be slain. When you read Psalms 22 in great detail, it talks about the agony of the cross. It talks about his dehydration, the passage where he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's an Old Testament prophecy. In other words, every prophecy about his first coming was fulfilled exactly. And so many of them about his birth and about his life and about his death. But did you know that there are many, many more prophecies in the Old Testament and in the New Testament about his second coming than there were about his first coming? He's coming again. And my dear friend, listen, he's coming in the same situation that we saw him when he left. This same Jesus, he said, is coming back in the book of Acts. He's coming again. Turn over to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and let me show you a passage of Scripture here. I had you to find the book of 1 Thessalonians. You should have that now. So look in chapter 1. I'll read one verse there, and then we'll go over to chapter 4. Notice what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, I'm glad I got saved. I'm glad God forgave all of my sin. I'm glad I'm not going to die and go to hell. But you know what? Not only did he save me from eternity in hell, but he saved me from the wrath to come. And my dear friend, there's judgment coming on this world. He's going to deliver us out. You say, Brother Billy, how's that going to happen? It's going to be a supernatural event. We call it the rapture of the church. Look over the book of 1 Thessalonians. There's absolutely no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled prior to the Lord's coming to rapture the church. It could happen at any time. It is imminent. It could happen today. It could happen before I finish the message. Jesus Christ could come from heaven and he could rapture the church out. Notice what it said in this passage of Scripture, chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. He's talking about people who have died. The church at Thessalonica was concerned about their loved ones who died without ever getting to see the kingdom of God. And in another passage of Scripture, he writes to them about that. And he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he said that in book Ecclesiastes, the body goes to the dust, but the soul back to God that gave it. And so when a person dies, your loved one dies, their spirit goes to be with the Lord. And their body is placed in the ground somewhere. But now notice, he said, I don't want you to be concerned about them and don't sorrow as others who have no hope. I'm glad he didn't say we couldn't sorrow, because when our family loved one leaves us, it's a time of sorrow and we weep. But notice verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now watch this. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, that's the Bible. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said one of these days Jesus Christ is coming, and I believe the way it's constructed and here in the grammar of this verse, he said those who are already gone on to be with him will come back with him. Their bodies will be resurrected. 1 Corinthians, sown a mortal body, raised an immortal body, sown a corruptible body, raised an incorruptible body, sown in weakness and raised in power. My dear friend, that body is going to be resurrected, made like unto his glorious body. Body and soul reunited. But he says in 1 Corinthians, but I'll show you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep. We're not all going to die. He said, we'll be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. And so here's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying that one of these days, Jesus is coming again. And it could be now. He's going to come back for his bride. And when he comes back, he said, in a moment, their bodies will be resurrected, body and soul reunited. We who are alive remain, they'll be caught up first. We'll be right behind them. And we'll be changed in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, this body will be changed, and we'll meet them in the clouds, and we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, Brother Billy, you believe that's really going to happen? Just as sure as I'm saying here, it's going to happen. He prophesied he'd be born in Bethlehem. He's born in Bethlehem. Prophesied he'd be born of a virgin. He's born of a virgin. Prophesied he died on the cross. He died on the cross. Prophesied he'd rise again. He rose again. All the Old Testament prophecies about his first coming were fulfilled exactly. And my dear friend, he's coming again. I promise you that. It's imminent. He's coming very soon. I believe that with all my heart. By the way, I heard a little something last night I was not aware of. You know the deal been going on about the terrorist cell phone and how that the company didn't want to open it up and didn't have a code to where they could get in it and get all this information, this, that, and the other. But you know, there's now another company come up and they said, hey, we can open it. And they said, well, go ahead and open it. So they opened it up and they said, by the way, if you have any other questions, we'll help you with that. How many of you know that was a Jewish company? That was a Jewish company. A little startup Jewish tech company, they said, we can open it up. You think they're that smart? I know somebody who right now has got his eye. They are the apple of his eye. Israel is God's nation. My dear friend, they're in their land that God gave them. And listen, we need to pray for the nation of Israel. But I promise you this, there's somebody on their side bigger than the United States. We could vote tomorrow to abandon them. We'd be the loser. If we want to be blessed as a nation, he said, I'll bless them that bless thee. And you better hang on. We better pray for our legislators, everybody, that we'll stay a friend of Israel because God's their friend. And I want to be a friend of anybody that's God's friend. Amen. But now look, Jesus is coming again. He's made all these promises and he said this. He's coming again. Turn over, please. Now, you're in 1 Thessalonians. Go just a little bit further, 2 Thessalonians. And then you go through Timothy. And you'll come to the little book of Titus, the little book of Titus. Will you find that? In Titus chapter 2. I finished last Sunday morning with this particular passage of Scripture, maybe last Sunday night. And it's in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that is, that we are to resist that, and everybody has battles with it. I'm just telling you, we all have an old nature. We're all in a body of flesh. And he said, but we deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world right now, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. My dear friend, he's coming again. And he said, right now in this present world, you and I ought to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We'd live soberly, righteous, godly in this present world, looking for the return of the Lord. How many of you are looking for him? Say amen. Amen. He's coming again, looking for it. We believe that with all of our heart. You'll not look for him if you don't believe it, but if you believe it, you'll look for it. Amen. And you know what? It's a wonderful truth that he's coming again. Now, I want you to look at one other passage of Scripture, and it's over in the book of Revelation. Now, Revelation is a picture of the end time. There are seven churches, and Brother Gary Snow did an awesome job when I was sick going through the book of Revelation on Wednesday night. And it was absolutely awesome. And he went in some detail about the churches, how that they were actual churches, and these were letters written to actual churches, but also that they were a panorama of the church age, and they show a picture of the church age. And so it is. And so when you come down to chapter 4, he's gone through the explanation of all of basically what we call the church age, the age of the church as we know it now. And then when you come to chapter 4, something happens. Notice what he says in chapter 4 and verse 1. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the voice which I heard was as it was of a mighty trumpet calling to me, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show thee the things which must be hereafter. Here he is that picture of the rapture. It's when God said, he said, I'll descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, quickly, what's it mean? Do you believe he's coming again? Do you believe he came the first time? You believe he was born of a virgin, died on the cross, sacrificed himself for your sin, buried and resurrected, and is alive? Well, you can believe this, he's coming again. First of all, the promise of his coming. He said to his disciples, in just a little while you'll not see me, but then in a little while you'll see me again. I'll come again. And he said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. But if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Listen, the promise of his coming, it's not something that's made up. It's something he said. He said, I'm coming again. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, gives us a little detail about that coming. He's coming back initially for the church. And that leads us not only to the promise of his coming, but the people of his coming. Why is he coming back? He's coming back, my dear friend, for the people who have been washed in his blood. He's coming back to those of us who are saved. If you're saved this morning, he's coming back to rapture you out of here. To keep his promise that I'm coming again. He's going to take you out of here. But what happens just before any national or any country declares war? Or what happens in a wartime? The very first thing that our government does, or any government does, is it withdraws their ambassadors and their representatives in those countries where the war is going to take place. They want all of their representatives out of there before the battle begins. And what's going to happen in the book of Revelation when you leave this chapter 4, you go into the great plagues and the great trumpets and the great vials in the book of Revelation, where the water will flow, where blood will flow out of the rivers, and where there'll be just massive death everywhere. God's judgment on this earth because of sin. But what's going to happen before that? He's going to take us out of here. He hath delivered us from the wrath to come. Hey, we've already got our ticket punched. We've already got our plane, our reservation. You say, what's your time of departure? It's the rapture. Just before God, sin starts pouring out wrath on this earth, just before the Antichrist is revealed, he's going to take his bride out of here. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead are going to rise first. My dear friend, he's promised to do that, and he's purposed to do that. It is coming back to get his people. Only saved people. Only saved people. I've explained that to you one time before, but the very best explanation I can think of is this. Several years ago now, when we were started building this building, Brother Bobby had a place up the road up here and an old house that he was going to take down, and there was all type of metal up there. And he said, Brother Billy, if the church wants to get that metal and sell it, and you get all of it you want and all you can, and we'll sell it. And so Brother Donnie Tippett got a long trailer, and I went up there, and I think maybe Bobby was up there. We went through, and for a day or two, we gathered up all that old metal and threw it on there. And I picked up an old mop handle. I couldn't tell if it was metal or what it was. And so and Bobby said, just throw it on there. And I threw it on there. Now, there were a piece of I-beams, and there was all kind of old kind of metal. They're easy recognizable. But I wasn't sure if that was metal or not. And I said, now, I don't know how that's going to work when we get up there. Listen, Brother Donnie came in there and he pulled that long trailer around behind there at the salvage place. And the guy had this big old crane and he ran that crane over there. And it had a great huge metal disc about this big on the bottom of it. It was a magnetic, electronic magnet. And so when he swung that magnet over that trailer and he activated that thing, that metal on that trailer just began to jump up. I mean, it jumped up and he unloaded that whole trailer of metal in two or three swings across there. I was watching that. It was a kind of a greenish looking mop handle, and I was going to see what happened to that. And when it came back over, my dear friend, it picked up some other metal, and that thing was right in the middle of it. And I said, well, it got picked up by mistake, and it fell out the side and fell to the ground. You know why? It didn't have the right kind of nature in it. It didn't have the type of metal in it that was attracted to that magnet. And when Jesus Christ comes back in the rapture, the only people leaving out are the ones with the right nature. That is those who've been saved by the grace of God. He said this in the book of Matthew, there'll be one in the field, two in the field, one taken, one left. Down by the mill grinded, one taken, one left. It's going to be a selective rapture. Only those who are saved are leaving out in the rapture. What happens to those left behind? Those left behind, my dear friend, I have to go through the awfulest time this world's ever known. It said there's never been a time like this in all the earth. And if it were not shortened for the elect's sake, there'd be no flesh saved in the tribulation period. It's an awful time of hell on earth. But for the saints of God, they're going to be delivered from the wrath to come. And thank God our bodies will be changed. I'm telling you right now, listen, he said, who's leaving out? The people of that rapture are those who are saved, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And there'll be a shout and a trump of God. And my dear friend, you're talking about a call, a clarion call to the saints of God. My dear friend, the call, it'd be so strong, it'll shake this earth. It'll be so strong, it'll go into every grave. It'll be so strong, it'll go into every depths of the sea. And those dear soldiers who died during the Civil War, whose bodies laid out in some swamp and deteriorated and went back to her, and mom and dad and nobody knew where they were, those who died in the South Pacific and buried at sea that nobody knows where their body's at now except for God and the Holy Ghost, when that voice comes and that shout comes, that voice of God will go all the way in the depths of the sea, and those people will be resurrected just like those buried across the road in the church cemetery, because God knows where they are and he'll call them out, and the dead in Christ will rise first, not just out of a well manicured graveyard, but those who are scattered on mountainsides and swamps and creeks and depths of the sea. God knows who they are and he knows where they are, and when he comes back for his bride, he'll call every one of their bodies out, and body and soul reunited, and they'll have a body like in his glorious body. You leave behind cancer, you'll leave behind a problem seeing, you'll leave behind, Brother Allen, if Jesus comes, you won't have to worry about a cataract or a cornea transplant in the morning. My dear friend, Jesus Christ is coming again, and he's coming back for the purpose of getting his bride and keeping his promise. He prayed in John 17, and he said, Father, I pray that they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory. And I'm going to tell you one thing. God's going to answer that prayer. You and I are going to get raptured out of here one of these days, and we'll get to go be with the Lord and see him just like he is. Bible said those dead in Christ resurrected first, their bodies changed, body and soul reunited. We'll meet them in the clouds. Our bodies have been changed. Our loved ones that we love so much, we'll meet them in the clouds, and then we'll meet him in the air. Oh, listen, the purpose of it is to rapture us out, to deliver us from the wrath that's coming, to give us our glorious body, and then for a great time of reunion around the throne with him and with the saints, and a great time of rejoicing. But there, not only do I note this morning from this passage of Scripture the promise of his coming and the purpose of his coming and the people of his coming, but I want to remind you of the preparation for his coming. Look over in the book of 1 John. You were in Revelation, and you have to go back if you're still in Revelation, but go back to 1 John in chapter number 2. 1 John in chapter number 2, and I call your attention, please, to verse number 28. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, and listen to what it said. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear. By the way, there's not a question mark behind any of these statements. He said, I will come again, period. He said the dead in Christ shall rise, period. My dear friend, and he said, but when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's why it said in Titus that right now in this present age, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age, because you don't want to be ashamed when he's coming. Now, most of you dear ladies know, if you were around the house and you heard somebody was coming, come visit your home, you'd want to pick up and straighten up. Now, some of you keep everything spotless, I know that, but not all of us do. But you want to get everything just as sure as if you were coming. I thought about doing this. I'm not going to do it, but Brad, you'll do it when you preach another revival. I thought about coming in this morning at this point and say, I got a surprise guest for you this morning. First of all, I want all of you to cut your cell phones off. And I'd give you time to do that because some of you still got them on. You've been playing with them all through church, adults and children. Then I ask you to sit up straight and pay attention because some of you had done that the whole time I've been preaching. I said, I want you to watch these doors right here because somebody's coming in that door. It's very important. You'll be surprised. You've never seen her before. There she is right there. Praise God. Right on time. But somebody's coming in that door. You've never seen them. You've never really seen them. But they're coming in that door. And then Brad, I was going to get you to go over there and open the door. Open the door. And we're sit and look with great anticipation. We prepared ourselves. We're paying close attention. We're watching very seriously about it. My dear friend, we open the door. Well, and then we say, welcome, Holy Ghost, come on in. My dear friend, listen. If you knew Jesus Christ would have been here this morning, would you act it any different? If you knew He's going to come this afternoon at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, is there anything you think you might want to take care of around the house before He gets there? That's what He's saying. He said there's going to be some who will be ashamed at His coming. He's coming again. He's going to rapture us out of here. You say, Brother Billy, it's getting so dark, everything, all this. Listen, the darker it gets, the closer you and I get to going home. Say amen right there. There are a good many of us in this building who may not pass through the door of death. We may get raptured out of here before we go the way of death. But that's a promise. He said this, we're looking for that blessed hope. It's a blessed hope. That word blessed means happy, joyous hope. That's not a hope so like I hope I'm going to do this, I hope Carolina wins, I hope State wins, I hope somebody wins. No, that's not what it means at all. It is a confirmed future promise that's not yet realized. That's what that is. And it is a future blessing that's not yet realized. That is the blessed hope. He's coming again. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. I have often tried to imagine what it'd be like, how it would feel when our bodies were transformed. I've heard people say, well, I've been so sick, but now I feel like a new man. I feel like a new woman. But my dear friend, can you imagine what it'd be like just instantaneously not to have any more pain? Instantaneously to hear perfect hearing? Instantaneously to have vision like you've never had before? Instantaneously to feel as clean and as pure and as holy as you've ever felt? That's what it'd be like when He comes in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and the Bible said at the last trump, it's going to happen. He's coming again. But the preparation is this. Number one, you need to be saved. Because Peter said, we have become partakers of a divine nature. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must become a brand new person. Not joining a church, but being born again, getting saved, and knowing that you have a new nature, that you're a different person. You need to be saved. If Jesus were to come right now, I'm sorry to tell you that if you're not saved and the rapture occurs and around you a great host of people disappear, you'll never, ever get saved. Never. Oh, you say, Brother Bill, if that happened, everybody was gone in a moment, I'd do it right now. No, he says in the book of Thessalonians, he said, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they might all believe a lie, believe the lie, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth. So if you've ever heard the truth and you didn't believe it, well, you say, well, I read the book about taking or return or whatever it was. I forget what it was. They all had a second chance. No, according to the Word of God, if you've ever heard the gospel, if you've ever heard the truth and rejected it, you don't get a second chance. There'll be people saved during the tribulation period. But he said that they might all be damned who believed not the truth. So if you've ever heard the truth that Jesus Christ died for your sin, was buried, and rose again, and if you'll ask Him to and call on Him, He'll save you. If you've heard that truth and you just got through hearing it again just then, and you say, well, Brother Bill, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to accept that. If before we left this morning, He came in the rapture, every saint of God leave, you'd be left behind. You'd scream and cry and beg, but you wouldn't get to go. You just wouldn't get to go because you've had an opportunity and you didn't respond. Don't miss your opportunity. You don't know when death's coming. As thy soul liveth, there's but a step between thee and death. But also the rapture might occur. Jesus might come right now just before he get to give the invitation. And so right now where you're sitting there, won't you believe on him? Call on him and ask him to save you. But then not only for those who are lost to be ready for the rapture, but he said, be ye also ready, and for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man coming. But the saints of God ought to be ready. We ought not to be living in sin. We ought not have anything in our heart that's unconfessed. We ought to be clean. We ought to be right with him. And we ought to be looking for him. And not have anything between our soul and the Savior when he comes. We don't want to be ashamed at his coming. I want to be as close to him as I can get. He said, if you abide in him, you ought to abide in him, little children. Stay close to him. Will you bow your heads in prayer? He's coming again. He's coming again in the rapture. You say, Brother Billy, what in the world? This world is such a mess. It's getting worse and worse all the time. I want to be faithful to him. We're going to preach the gospel, live for Jesus all we can. But I'm telling you right now, we're fixing to leave out of here, children. It's a blessed hope. I mean, it's a time when all the world is in turmoil. And listen, they've rejected Christ, rejected the gospel, rejected God's people. But my dear friend, there's coming a day that he's going to rapture us out of here. We'll leave out of here, and it could be at any moment now. There's nothing to keep him from coming right now. There's no Bible prophecy that I know of and that needs to be fulfilled. The Church of the Laodicean is often referenced as an indicator of return. And I'm going to tell you, if we're not there in that right now, we've never been there. And we're already in it. We're living in that church age when they deny the power thereof. And they have a form of godliness, but they don't want to know anything about the blood. They don't want to know anything about Christ and all those type of things. But listen, thank God he's coming back for those who've been saved by the grace of God. And it could be today. You and I need to be faithful until he comes, occupy till he comes. You and I who are saved ought to be ready. We ought to be living, looking for him and not have anything between our soul and the Savior. He said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Don't leave here today with anything in your heart that ought not to be there. Get it out. Get it under the blood. Get clean before him so you'll not be ashamed at his coming. And then if you're not saved today here in the building or radio audience, internet audience, I want to plead with you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll save you right now. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I preach the truth you want me to preach. I pray, God, that, Lord, it's been clear enough that God's people could understand and that those who are not saved, Lord, through the work of the minister of the Holy Spirit of God, you'd make it real to saved and to the lost. And God, that you're coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. What a promise, our Father. You've promised he's coming again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Then we, which are alive, remain. We'll get caught up after those who have been resurrected. Lord, I want to thank you for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I pray now that, God, you'll make that true to them. Our Father, through the work of the Holy Spirit of God, I pray, God, your people will be comforted with that fact. And God's people who, out of your will, out of your fellowship, will be convicted by that fact, and that lost people would be converted by that truth, that Jesus Christ is coming again. God, don't let them waste this opportunity to be saved. Don't let them waste this opportunity to get right with you. Would you stand, please, with your heads bowed for just a moment? Brad's going to sing a song that I know will be a blessing to you. But I want you to, this morning, as he sings this song, first of all, if you're saved, maybe you want to come, get around this altar, and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for his promises. That the darker the day, the brighter his light, and he's coming again, going to deliver us from the wrath to come before he pours out his judgment on this earth. We'll leave out of here. That doesn't mean we won't face a lot of persecution and other things before that happens. It's going on around the world now. There are saints of God who are dying even now in our world because of their belief. No reason it couldn't happen here in America. But before the great vials and the bowls and God's wrath and the plagues are poured out, you and I are leaving out of here. If you're saved. But if you're not saved today, I encourage you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, men and women, boys and girls.